Purple's going to be on the agenda, is it?
Well, I think that it will certainly come up in the dialogue phase of things. I think it likely that there may be some discussion at the retreat. As you know, the retreat doesn't have an agenda, but you've got to allow for the fact that leaders may discuss it. And if they do, we'll come with a result.
If it does come up, who's likely to raise it?
Oh, no, I won't speculate on that, but there are one or two of the countries that have had particular interests in the subject over the years, and they may do so.
So it would be significant if it was discussed this year, because it was dropped last year, wasn't it?
Not so much dropped, as it didn't come up, but it had been discussed for a number of years before that. I personally wouldn't read any particular significance in what happened last year, and again, it was discussed with Indonesia at the dialogue stage.
To go back to that question of how you're going to fund all of this, and you say that it's all pretty much taken care of initially.
I didn't quite say that, but I did.
Well, one of the big things is the digital strategy, and the idea is to get that going fairly smartly, isn't it? And that's going to cost money.
Look, not to be technical, but the digital strategy actually accompanies the plan. It's not part of the so much part of the thing, but yes, that's a big ticket item. And at the end of the day, there's going to have to be some big dollars found about that. We're talking to some of the big donors like the World Bank and the ADB about that.
Are you aware of any of the member countries being against the plan at this stage? Or have you one fairly
look at it? I've been around too long to be surprised by anything much, but over these 2 days there's been a considerable expression of support from it from the range of leaders that I've had contact with. The SIS leaders endorsed it yesterday. There's been positive discussion of it in the ACP meeting this morning. So judged from that, I'd have to say it's looking reasonably positive. There'll be discussion of it.
Why do you think that's happened, though? Because, we heard that there was a lot of controversy with the plan and a lot of island nations against it. Why has suddenly...
It seems to me that some of the things that people heard were perhaps not so. Obviously, there's been a fair bit of discussion among some of the regionally based NGOs who were based in Suva, basically, and they've expressed some pretty strong views in the lead up to the forum, which is the kind of thing you would expect them to do. But at the national level, which really is a key to all of this for us, we've, on the whole, conducted a pretty successful series of negotiations, which had a high level of involvement not only across the community range, but in many cases at a high level of government as well. So there's been a lot of interest in this for a long time at that level.
Can you get people to work together? Nauru has its agenda, Samoa has its agenda, Fiji has its agenda. How are you going to make people wait for their turn?
Again, as I said earlier, a lot of the devil's going to be in the detail. The implementation phase, and no question about this, is going to be a very substantial thing. In the case of a country like Nauru, for example, which has had particularly critical problems, we've dealt with those as a separate priority issue. And that kind of process will, I think, continue. As far as the plan itself is concerned, we've tried to identify measures which, so far as you can tell, are going to be reasonably widely applicable across the region, and that, as I keep saying, that would appear to add value to national strategies. If I could just give sort of practical examples of that, you'll see in the plan there's provision for beefing up statistics collection in the region, just as a for instance. Now, that's the sort of issue where everybody needs them, and they need them at national level, but when you're competing in a budget situation for for these sorts of things. Statistics departments tend to lose out to health departments and education departments and things of that kind. So that sort of thing, if made available on a regional basis, might assist countries.
Mr. Irwin, PACER is the issue which the NGOs are most concerned about. Mm. And what's on the agenda in the Pacific Plan is a revised impact assessment.
Yeah.
Is there any detail to that, firstly? And secondly, is that an explicit acknowledgement that the previous assessments which were conducted and were highly criticised were in fact not?
What I think the PACER thing to me is quite an interesting one, because it was coming down the road in any event. I mean, there's a commitment to negotiate a PACER, and at some point or another it may be triggered by what's going on with the Europeans. So from our point of view, and I think the point of view of the task force that was involved in the plan, what they wanted to do was take the PACER and try and develop it from just being what it was originally conceived of, which is a two-way free trade in goods, into something more comprehensive. Now, that's about the stage we've reached so far, but there'll obviously have to be a good deal of discussion between the island countries and New Zealand and Australia about this, but that's the concept, to try and broaden it, make it something which has got palpably some two-way benefits.
In Jane Kelsey's report, she specifically said that the previous impact assessments were invalid. And called on a proper assessment to be made.
Yeah.
That seems to be what the Pacific Plan has recommended.
Yeah, we haven't quite put it in those terms, but we certainly want to develop the PACER idea.
In terms of more detail of how it's going to actually affect people's real lives?
Well, probably, yes. I mean, the answer to that question is yes, in the sense that if it's going to become more comprehensive, we want to look at more elements for it.
How is that likely to actually take place? I mean, who's likely to conduct this impact assessment?
Well, at the moment we're developing some terms of reference for a comprehensive study of this thing, which is going to try to draw in the opinion of all of the member countries and just see what all of the members might want out of this kind of arrangement and take it from there.
Mr. Irwin, where do you see the forum going from here? We've had some interesting comments made about the involvement and the lobbying by the Pacific Island Nations as they get a little bit stronger. Where do you see things moving on?
Well, one thing I will say, I mean, obviously you'd expect me to give a positive answer to that, is that it does seem to be attracting more and more attention from beyond the region, and that's first of all very encouraging. Obviously, it's something that needs to be managed to get the best value out of. We're starting to develop a large number of dialogue partners, for example. One wonders how long this process will go on and continue to be manageable for us. So it's a bit of a balance, trying to keep encouraging productive interest and at the same time maintaining from the members' point of view control over its destiny.
Yeah. Talking about that productiveness, how comfortable are you about the fact that that argument about colonialism and superpowers, Europeans, Pākehā, Bailangi, is running the show, coming up time and time again?
As you may know, I spent many years on the Australian side of the table in this organisation. I was never, very rarely struck by how can I put it, any incapacity on the part of the island countries to run the agenda and drive the agenda. I think that's very much the case, that they still set the agenda, and of course that's the way it ought to be.
The Pacific Commission idea,
yes.
Is it on the deal?
The study is been brought to the attention of leaders. I think, as you may know, the officials have said they want to work it through over the next few months. I think some of the leaders are quite interested in some of the in some of the proposals made in that. I have a personal view that we do have to work better together at the regional organisation level. A lot of resources tied up in these organisations, and we've got to get the most effective use out of them. I personally am still a bit open-minded about whether what's in that study is the full answer, but I think we've got to take it very seriously.
Thanks, Greg. Thank you, Greg.